The grace and peace of God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, especially with you when you are sinking in the mire without a foothold. For here, in the muck and in the mire, Christ comes most closely to you to bring to you his word, his forgiveness, his peace, and his joy, even in the midst of struggle. For in Christ, you are made new. Amen. I loved Pastor Anjanette's allusion last week, comparing the Psalms to Major League Baseball players having a song that briefly played as they were walking up to home plate to show off their batting skills. For in many ways, the Psalms are truly our walk-up songs of faith. Though not just when we walk up to the plate, but all the way through, whether we hit a home run or strike out, the Psalms are our songs of faith. Now, it's been a very good year so far for the Minnesota Twins and their walk-up music. Being one of the best teams in the majors this season and hitting lots of home runs. Apparently, the songs are working, or something is, and we hope that it continues. Having recently been to a game at Target Field, I can assure you that the lyrics and the mood of these walk-up songs are all about swagger and power and, well, the abilities of the one coming up to hit the ball a long ways. In a sport where power and swagger and results are really important, of course, this all makes sense. For who doesn't like home runs? Yet how different is our walk-up music, the songs of faith that we share in the Psalms, where the world says, "I am the best." The Psalms say, "God is the best." Where the music of our old world says, "I will dominate and I'm going to win this thing," the Psalms and our faith say, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." The Psalms teach us and reorient us in this world, and we need this reorientation, that the life of faith is one of continually being pointed back off of ourselves, back to the one Lord who gives us life. And so we see this week that even when, or maybe especially when, life gets hard, we can still go to God in prayer, and we can know that God is faithful in the midst of difficulty. As I, and I'm sure you, have been hearing much this past month about the 75th anniversary of the Allied invasion at Normandy, France, on D-Day, I was reminded of my Grandma Henning, my mom's mother. Her two brothers served in World War II. Their names were Milton and Maynard. Milton died on a boat near Normandy during that invasion. And Maynard came home and raised a family and lived a life, but had internal wounds, struggled the rest of his life with alcohol. In my recalling them and many like them, the words of Psalm 69 struck a chord. "Save me, O God. Save me, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me." Now the psalm, of course, goes on from there. But I can only imagine the difficulty, even 75 years later, of those young men struggling to do what was needed to be done. Many of them dying in the process. All of them changed in the process. I can only imagine the pain of the families back home, like my grandma's family, hearing the news that their loved one did not make it. Psalm 69 is an honest psalm for times like that. In Psalm 69, we learn that there is no place or no time too desperate for prayer and God's help. "Save me, O God," we say, "for you are the only one who can." If there's one thing we can take from the Psalms, it is that there is a psalm for every day and for every experience in our life. No matter how high and joyous or how low and desperate. Though we only have 4 weeks to explore the Psalms as preaching texts this summer, I encourage you to explore the Psalms more on your own and see the great range of emotions reflected in them. When you do that, you will see that there is absolutely nothing out of bounds when we go to God. The Psalms teach us this. Psalm 69, our psalm for today, tells us the truth of things. When we are weary, maybe unjustly hated, when floodwaters sweep over us, maybe literally, certainly figuratively, God is the only one who can finally save us. By verse 16, about the middle of the psalm, we begin to get a picture of how God does this. "Answer me, O Lord," David writes, "for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me." God's love for you is good, and his mercy for you is abundant through Jesus Christ, who came that you might know his love and his protection and his salvation. Even in the midst of the pain of this old world, Christ came for this. Christ came for you. And in teaching this, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses an interesting comparison. He says, first, ask and you shall receive. As I mentioned in the children's word, this might sound a little reckless to our ears. But when I teach our confirmation students about prayer, I remind them of what Luther teaches. Luther says, when you pray, open your bag wide. What does this mean? Well, it's like when you're going trick-or-treating. Do not ask just for the little candy bars, but ask for the king size. Open your bag wide and ask for all that you want. How can this be, you might ask? Do not hold back, I say, but give to God your whole heart, all of your wants, and all of your needs. God will give you what you truly need. Jesus says so. Ask and you will receive. Now, your answer and God's response may come as a surprise to you. The timing of it or the thing of it might not be what you expected, but God will answer you. And God will give to you, when you pray this way, the needs that are beneath your desires. And you will have something better than you asked for. Jesus then says this. He says, which of you, if you ask for a fish, will give your child a snake? Or if your child asks for bread, will give them a stone? Now the obvious answer is, no father or mother or grandparent would play such tricks on a child truly in need. God has wired us to give what is necessary. And then Jesus says, if then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Beautiful teaching on prayer. That even when we are in desperate straits, God will give us what we need. We may not know exactly what that looks like, but God does. And so as I encouraged our children to pray, I encourage you too to open your bag wide, open your heart, and give to God all of the desires on your heart. Ask him for these things and see how God answers them. You will be surprised, I think, and often delighted. Finally, the answer to this prayer, whatever our prayer is, comes in the person of Christ, who brings us mercy and peace and joy through his forgiveness. As I have been reminiscing a little bit about my grandmother and her brothers, but neither of whom I ever met, I remember going to her house in Botno, North Dakota, and always on the wall in her hallway were two big framed photos of Maynard and Milton in their military dress, young men when these photos were taken. And of course, as a young boy, I asked questions about them. Who are they? How did they die? Where are they now? And I suspect that there was lots of pain in my grandmother's life. Yet, her witness was one of faith. Her witness was one that pointed to Christ. I suspect that Psalm 69 and other psalms like it were of great comfort for her and her family. And she passed that along to her children and to her grandchildren as well. In answer to prayer, when we ask for bread, we are not given a stone, but we are given living bread finally in the person of Christ. When we ask for fish, we are not given a snake. We are given sustenance for a lifetime and eternity. Christ has come for this. Christ has come to give this to you. Maybe you're in the muck and in the mire today. Maybe you feel like you've got water up to your neck and it's rising. Maybe you feel just fine and life is going great. For you, salvation has come. For you, God shares his mercy in Christ. For you are given all that you need this day and always. And on the days when this seems like too much to believe, and those days come as well, well, on those days you are forgiven for the unfaith that comes. The Holy Spirit will come and give you new faith. You are forgiven in the name of Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day, one that recalls God's faithful protection wherever we're at.